Hello and welcome. You're listening to The Broadband Exchange, which is Telecompetitor's podcast. I'm Ian Descher, Pivot's Director of Media and Story and Managing Editor of Telecompetitor. This is the first episode of a three-part series about what business intelligence can do for broadband providers. We're speaking with Brian Weiss, Director of Customer Success at Innovative Systems, and Faye Jandro, CEO and General Manager at Venture Communications. Innovative Systems provides an enterprise billing and subscriber management platform, as well as video and voice services to broadband service providers. Elation is the most complete subscriber management platform for regional broadband providers, simplifying operations and fueling subscriber growth with true enterprise software across billing, provisioning, financials, and mapping. First episode of this series is titled From Zero to Something, Your Business Intelligence Journey. Let's get into it. First of all, gentlemen, thank you both so much for joining me on the podcast today. Let's just start at zero. What does business intelligence mean to you and why is it important?
The textbook answer is it's a collection of analyzed and visualized data that allows you to make better decisions, improve efficiency, and have and keep a competitive advantage. So that's kind of where I see it going. Now, Faye, can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Well, yeah, thanks for having us. And when I hear BI, you know, what I think a lot about is the actions of hunting and gathering data. And not just gathering the data, but gathering data with a purpose and analyzing it with a purpose to improve your strategic and operational decisions that you're making every day.
As you look at a company and think about how you get your leadership on board with business intelligence, what arguments do you make? Brian, you've worked with a lot of different providers. Faye, I know you're doing this at Venture. So how do you do that?
Ours really starts with a culture of constant improvement and buying into that concept of good to great. If you haven't read that book, that's a great place to start. And the idea is that the last 10% of improvement in any process or anything that you do is the most difficult. That's where you really have to lean into the work that you're trying to accomplish. And for us, that's where BI really starts to play a heavy role in what we're doing. It's not business as usual. It's looking at it and identifying those little things that can help you move from good to great in everything that you do, whether that be becoming more efficient, whether that be improving a product, or maybe it's just as simple as just employee engagement, right? Moving from good to great is where BI really started to play a role for us. And if you take and buy into that concept of constant improvement, then it becomes pretty straightforward as to how you really get buy-in around the data.
It is a great book, Faye. And, you know, I actually look at it if I had a hard time getting my leadership on board with this, maybe do I have the right people in the right seat on the bus? I mean, that would be a major challenge because, you know, what a BI allows you to have is that strategic vision, right? To really understand where you're going and how you're getting there. So as a leadership team, when you're setting that strategy, you need that leadership team bought on board.
Related to this, as we talk about our teams, right, how do you instill a data-driven culture in your organization as a whole?
You have to humanize it. When you talk about data points and data analytics, oftentimes you can get lost just in that word, right, in the word of data or in the word of analytics, and you lose track of the fact that this has a direct impact on you as an individual. And so if you humanize that process and that data-driven culture, right, or that culture of constant improvement where you're evaluating this and saying, yes, I probably am the resident expert on this topic, but the data may tell me something different than what my gut's telling me. And so if you humanize that and create that clear realization for each individual that, hey, this helps us to be better. This helps us to hit a better goal or a bigger goal, or maybe we get a product rolled out sooner. Those are the things, in my opinion, that really instill that culture of constant improvement and really listening to the data to help you find the direction you want to go in that last 10%, like I was talking about.
Yeah, and, you know, culture is a huge thing that I love talking about. And to me, in a culture of constant improvement, you need to have accountability and transparency. And that's really where being a data-driven culture comes into play. You can have that accountability of know who's doing what and are they doing it when they say they're going to do it. And also that transparency that everybody can see the improvements that are coming from this constantly improving organization, that efficiencies, and actually be able to see that transparency of what's going on.
That thought of constant improvement, it drives you to some unrealized gains a little bit, right? If you have Department A and they increase their performance, it just inherently will roll into the next department or the next task that's laying out there in front of you. And success builds and breeds success. And so when you have success in one area, it builds and it grows and it continues. And you'll find yourself in a situation where you're delivering services at a higher level with more efficiency than what you'd really even thought you could do.
Well, yeah, and actually you hit on a great point about the different departments and having kind of everybody involved. When you're doing a constant improvement and kind of a Kaizen-type program, you're looking at that need of how maybe if I change something in my department, how does it affect the next department downstream? It might have made my life easier, but without the data knowing, I might have made Faye's department miserable, costing them so much more time. So having the data from a BI type analysis to be able to look at it allows you to build empathy between different departments, knowing that, boy, I might take this amount of time and Faye's, it makes Faye's life easier, saves him 30 minutes and it only adds 5 minutes to me. Or I might be messing something up for other departments downstream. Probably the prime example I always see with this is between CSRs and technicians. Technicians can call back in and say, hey, CSR, I need you to contact this customer. I need you to do that, not knowing what all the CSR has on their plate already. And this can create a ton of back and forth and potential issues. But once you start getting that idea of constant improvement and the data to back it up, you start really creating a lot of empathy between departments.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of a story, Brian. We had we had a situation where we had asked some technical folks to help our customer advocates in the early stages of recording a trouble ticket. And really the intention of the exercise was to just create a database of questions, right, that the customer advocate just could ask and clear things up. And as we went through it, there was a lot of, there's tension on the technical folks' side is they didn't want to really hook on and say, hey, I'm going to tell these people what to ask. They said, I'm not going to tell them how to do their job. I don't want to be that person, right? And after you explain to them, no, you're helping them to be better at what they're doing. We're trying to get information from you and influence how they do what they do. And once that concept was bought into and everybody was on board with this culture of continual improvement, then all of a sudden it was like we just added grease to the gears, right? And then we were off and running and people were speaking freely with saying, hey, you know, if you actually asked this question and documented it, it would save me this much time on the backside. And you know, it was really BI that really revealed to us those things that were so critically important. And it's like, there's a shortcoming right there. What's going on with that? Why is that happening? Oh, well, we're not asking this question. And it turns out we could have been asking that within the first, 30 seconds of the call.
Faye, I love how your company has bought into the good to great culture. I mean, you're describing the flywheel right there, right? And how it just feeds off and the improvements you see constantly coming from all that. So I love that. I think also, when you get that going, you start getting a little bit of a friendly competition going, right? How can we do this better? And I do believe that BI can really help drive that even between individual technicians or individual CSRs. You start getting some of that friendly competition back and forth that can lead to a culture of you know, how much more can we do or what can we do better and where you can find those improvements, which really gives a lot of empowerment to those employees. And that's the one thing you want to see is that empowerment coming through.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of fun, right? You got to loosen your grip just a little bit to allow that process to flow. And oftentimes as leaders, we get hooked on and by golly, I've been doing this for 35 years and I know exactly how this should be done. And the reality is the world's changed, right? We have all new tools and new expectations that are laid upon us. And so it's important that you loosen your grip just a touch and you allow the process to kind of reveal the best answers. You know, it's not just, like I said, it's not just gathering the data and analyzing it. It's putting it to work in your everyday decision-making so that you can be the best that you can be.
You're making me get all excited about my days back in the Marine Corps. What I love about what you're saying is what I kind of experienced back then was we had a mission, and if we knew that mission, you know, the officers planned the mission and every bit of that, be it the platoon level, they knew what their job was. The squad level knew where it was and what they had to do. And the individual riflemen knew what they had to do to help complete all that goal for that company overall. So we were all empowered to make the right decisions. And what you're kind of talking about is, you know, that same kind of empowerment. How do you guys use like the BI tool to set, you know, between strategy and tactics?
The first thing you have to do in that is to realize that everybody has their decisions to make, right? As CEO and GM, if I was making decisions on a day-to-day basis, how to care for a customer, I'm probably going to stub my toe. Right? I'm just not in it every day and I'm not there making those things happen. But what I am equipped for and what I am trained to do is to plot out and lay out a strategy. And so that right there for us is our board. As a cooperative, we have a board and I answer to that board. So that board and myself, we're responsible for building a strategy for the organization. Then we have a layer of management, and management's responsible for tactical decisions. So to compare those two, strategy is looking at down the road 5 years, maybe even longer, maybe 10 years. Hey, when we make decisions and plot a course, it's this long range looking way out into the ocean as to what the direction is that we want to go. We're looking at the North Star, so to speak. And then if you take tactical, the responsibilities of the tactical folks are to respond to challenges or opportunities that come along on a day-to-day or a weekly basis. That's that mid-range stuff, right? That's this all important, getting resources where they're needed that day, that week, and making sure that you meet the challenges that are associated with that. And then there's the largest group in the organization, which is our operational folks. And those operational folks, they're responsible for making the day-to-day decisions. You know, when that customer calls in and wants to do something, it's very important that they're empowered and with the data that they need to be able to make that decision at that moment and at that second. And what's fun about BI is when you start providing that level of intelligence or that data to each of those individuals, I may have my data set, and someone in operations may have their data set, and it's not exactly the same data, but with that constant commitment to improvement, it flows together and it moves in a positive direction. And you work together to get to that next step. And so that's really what we do, and that's how we see it. And we spend a lot of time when we look at data and we think, oh, hey, this is the fix. You have to just tap the brakes just a touch and say, okay, wait a minute. Is that in my wheelhouse? Is, you know, I'm more of a tactical person in this situation. Am I thinking tactics or am I getting myself into somebody else's world? And then making sure you bring in that opinion as you move forward. Yeah, I agree with you. It's layered. It's layered and you empower everyone to make the decisions that they need to be making.
And that empowerment is probably, in my opinion, one of the strongest things about a company culture. If the employees feel empowered, they feel that passion, you see great things happen. And they know, because they know they're going in the right direction of what the company goals are. There's nothing more frustrating for a frontline employee to make a decision that they think is right just to get smacked back down. And when you kind of have that empowerment and you have that transparency of knowing where that strategy is and how my actions affect the tactics that allow us to accomplish the strategy. No, that's where the employees can really feel like they're making a difference.
Yeah, have the data to back them up, right? Hey, this is why I did what I did. And it all begins to make sense. And if you did ever have to reverse a decision or move in a different direction or plot a new course, if it's backed by data, your buy-in becomes pretty simple and pretty easy, right? I mean, it's like, hey, look at here. I understand that saved you 30 minutes or a minute a call, but you actually created an hour and a half's worth of work for a technician that's out in the field. So maybe not a great strategy. Let's work on something a little bit different here.
What are one key metric that you kind of have been tracking so far that you've really seen impact your culture?
Trouble resolution is always something that you're dialed in on, right? I think every organization that's out there, you know, measures themselves on, or at least any good organization does. Anybody can deliver service when things are going great, right? When it's rainbows in the sky, it's pretty easy to be great at what you're doing. It's when the storm clouds roll in and you start to have some difficult times, how do you respond then? That's what matters. And that's what your customers care about. And that's what they pay for. And so trouble resolution is something that we watch. I mean, immediately we went right to that, and we've been watching trouble tickets and trouble ticket resolution, and not just simply trying to do things like, hey, we need our technicians to solve problems quicker. That's not necessarily how you approach that or how we've approached it. What we've done is we've kind of looked at the process and we said, we believe in our people. We think we have great people in great roles, and we think we have the right people in the right roles. So the majority of the efficiency we can find is in the process itself. So what does the data tell us? Where can we go within a process to expedite a trouble ticket and the trouble resolution? And we've seen, you know, we've seen that. We've driven down the number of trouble tickets we have, and we've driven down our time to resolution, you know, by an amazing amount. Our time to resolution is down over 40%.
And I bet you those tactical measurements lead to a higher NPS score or whatever you might have more as a strategic measurement.
When we didn't measure an NPS score and didn't know where we were at, I remember doing research and found that the industry average was somewhere in the 30s. And that meant nothing to me. I was like, oh, well, is that good or is that bad or where is that at? And so we started doing some research, got into the process of managing and measuring our NPS score. We're fortunate enough to have a very high NPS score. We're at a 71 today. So we're proud of that, but we know that it can always improve. And so that becomes another metric for us to motivate ourselves with. How do we get from a 71 to a 72? How do we get from a 72 to a 73? How do we not drop from a 71 to a 61? And 61 would still be good, right? But it's all relative to where you're at. And if you buy into that culture of constant improvement and use your data to guide your way, it becomes pretty quick to see how, hey, I can be better. There are little things that I can always do.
That's a great place to stop for episode 1. For those of you who might be wondering what the book is, the word we keep referring to, it is Good to Great, Why Some Companies Make the Leap and Others Don't by Jim Collins. So you can check that out. It is a great book. Thank you for listening to the Broadband Exchange, and thank you to our guests, Brian Weiss and Faye Jandro. If you want to learn more about the efficiency and insights business intelligence offers, Innovative Systems would love to talk with you about their Revelation software. You can contact them at innovsys.com. That's INNOVSYS.com. The next episode of this 3-part series is on overcoming the challenges. Visit Telecompetitor at telecompetitor.com and feel free to drop us a line. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you in the next episode.